these shootings are extreme reflections of the increased rise of white nationalist rhetoric.
The White House deflects criticism of its reaction to the New Zealand shootings. It's Tuesday, March 19th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Muslims in Minneapolis react to New Zealand. Are white supremacists just on the fringe? Kids for Climate cut classes. Keeping moms and babies safe. A Seattle tent city. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Following deadly shootings at two New Zealand mosques, U.S. President Donald Trump offered condolences but denied that white nationalism is a rising threat. The attacks are renewing debate in the United States about whether anti-immigrant political rhetoric is contributing to the rise of hate crimes. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has this report.
A somber Friday prayer for American Muslims. Worshippers at the Islamic Center of Washington mourning for victims of the New Zealand mosque shootings.
Everyone that I was around was crying around me while listening to the khutbah. And I think everyone just felt this collective grief for all the victims in New Zealand.
The shootings at two Christchurch mosques during Friday prayers killed 49 people and wounded dozens of others. The White House strongly condemns the attack, calling it a vicious act of hate.
I think it's a horrible, disgraceful thing and a horrible act.
President Trump offered U.S. assistance but did not call the shooting an act of terrorism, nor does he see white nationalism as a rising threat around the world.
I don't really. I think it's a small group of people that have very, very serious problems.
The latest data from the Federal Bureau of Investigations shows a 17% increase in reported hate crimes in the U.S. The head of an American Muslim advocacy organization is holding Trump accountable.
Mr. Trump, your words matter. Your policies matter. They impact the lives of innocent people at home and globally.
A social media post by an account believed to be the shooter linked a manifesto filled with white supremacist, anti-immigrant, and anti-Muslim sentiments.
These shootings are extreme reflections of the increased rise of white nationalist rhetoric.
Metzl believes anti-immigrant and anti-minority political rhetoric have driven white nationalist ideas mainstream.
What I worry about is not just these online communities, which have been there for a long time. It's also the ways in which this particular violence against vulnerable minority communities and the rhetoric that underlies it has become much more normalized in our political sphere.
In their mourning, Muslim communities in the U.S. are increasing vigilance. In some cities like New York, worshiping is done under heavy police protection. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News at the White House.
These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. New Zealand Prime Minister says Cabinet has agreed to gun law reform. Flash floods and earthquake in Indonesia kill over 80. Indonesian vice presidential debate shines overdue light on education. China says 13,000 Xinjiang terrorists arrested since 2014. U.S. Navy won't alter sail buys at sea dispute in the South China Sea. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The attack on Friday prayers at a New Zealand mosque that left 50 people dead and many more wounded reverberated around the world, striking hard at one of the largest Muslim communities here in the United States. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Muslims and people of all faiths are mourning yet another attack on a house of worship.
Heartbreak.
This child was only 5 years.
For a young Somali life lost half a world away in the very same act of worship, Friday prayer. The nation's largest Somali American community knows all too well it can happen here. after a 2017 bombing of a mosque in Minnesota.
Your job is to pray and be closer to Allah or God, and our job is to keep you safe.
An increased police presence here at the mosque today in the hopes it won't happen again. But the fear is always there, particularly for the refugees of this community.
We fled from our country and flew miles away to get safety and peace. And here, when we came here, we were experiencing, you know, a lot of hate and Islamophobia is increasing. But the majority of the people are understanding our situation, and there are other minorities that feel the same way. So we can endure and change that hate and into a positive way.
Members of the community say they understand this is the act of an extremist who hurt everyone.
What happened is really a tragedy, and all humanity is hurting today, Muslims or non-Muslims.
But after President Trump tweeted words of sympathy for New Zealand, Muslim leaders called for more.
You should condemn this not only as a hate crime, but as a white supremacist terrorist attack. And you need to assure all of us, Muslims, blacks, Jews, immigrants, that we are protected.
Acts of terror in places of worship are on the rise. Last year's shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue is very much in the minds of Minneapolis Jewish leaders as they stand in solidarity with Muslims.
To violate the sacred space of a house of worship, irrespective of the religion, is something that is inhumane in the gravest of terms. And we stand by our Muslim brothers and sisters.
On this difficult day, what has helped are small acts of kindness.
Someone who I met this morning at Starbucks who said, I'm so sorry what happened in New Zealand, even though it wasn't his fault, but he was apologizing to me just because he identified that I was a Muslim hijabi. So that was really kind of comforting.
People of faith trying to find reason.
As a community that went through so many trials and tribulations, we were never broken.
In what all too often is unimaginable. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Happening now in Asia, the European Union will seek Beijing's agreement for deadlines to open up China's economy at an April 9th summit in Brussels, trying to coax it into making good on promises to deepen trade ties. The six-page joint communique drafted by the EU still requires Chinese approval. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. Residents of Christchurch have been bringing flowers and other mementos to a makeshift memorial and an online fund for the victims gathered $684,000 in a single day. The victims of Friday's shooting included immigrants from Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Turkey, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Mass shootings and violent crime are rare in New Zealand, a country of nearly 5 million people. However, the man who allegedly carried out the attack is from Australia and has reportedly traveled the world, possibly seeking other white supremacists. VOA Asia's Ira Melman got in touch with Errol Southers, a professor of national and homeland security at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. He asked Southers if white supremacy is something more than a fringe movement.
I don't think it's any longer a fringe movement. It is certainly coming of age. It is being globalized at a very rapid pace, and unfortunately, it's getting quite a bit of traction, as we've seen most recently this past weekend.
What is leading to this?
I think what's happening is a number of things. First, you have this issue of immigration and this notion that there is a ticking clock down to the eventual what these extremists will call white genocide of their respective communities in nations around the world. That is one issue. The other issue is one of believing that there's no longer a place for white people. And unfortunately, this is an international threat that knows no borders, and they believe that the only way to combat this is now violence.
Hasn't this been around for decades?
Yes, it has. It has, but it's taken on a whole new tone and a whole new meaning. Number of events that have happened here in the last several years, and as you know, we don't prosecute for terrorism in the United States unless it involves a foreign ideology or a foreign country, which means there's a huge difference between a person who engages in violence up to and including murder if they're a jihadist as opposed to if they are someone from another racial or religious or issue-oriented extremist ideology. And so although it's been around for years, this activity now has been somewhat normalized. There have been apologists for things that have happened in the last couple of years. And unfortunately, what we see here when it involves a non-jihadist are notions that there's mental health issues involving the attacker, and or the lack of any radicalization to an extremist ideology at all, almost being an apologist for the activity.
How organized is this?
Well, that's probably, if there's a silver lining, the good news. When Charlottesville had the rally 2 years ago in 2017, it was a really interesting seminal event that brought together a number of diverse organizations and ideologies, the Ku Klux Klan, League of the South, the alt-right, a whole collection of organizations that typically don't play well together. But they galvanized that day, and they all were there for a common belief, and unfortunately things went very, very terribly bad for them. The good news is that that event has led them to splinter again. It hasn't reduced the number of incidents we've had in the country, but at least they don't seem to be working in an organized manner. So it doesn't seem to be an organized effort in terms of groups working together. But they do agree on a couple of things, and that being white supremacy, that being white genocide, that being the fact that immigration is a problem and the cause of the problem here, and that white people no longer have a place. So they do all agree on that, but they don't necessarily agree on how it's going to be achieved.
How and why has it spread to places like New Zealand, which is not accustomed to violence?
Well, I think that the manifesto speaks for itself. The fact that the shooter decided to mention things that are happening here in the United States, decided to mention the President of the United States. This is a globalized effort. And people around the world are following what's happening here in the United States. We are the epicenter of the world for most things. And we're now the epicenter of the world in terms of how white identity is being seen. And I think that may answer the question with regards to how it's spreading and why people are engaging.
How dangerous is this and what's being done about it, and is it enough?
Well, the danger is in the realization that this continues to happen. And needless to say, when you've got the FBI saying that 2 years ago, white nationalism is the greatest threat to this country, a greater threat or an equal threat to ISIS. When you've got white nationalists and neo-Nazi movements outpacing ISIS on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and other dark web networks, they're outpacing ISIS on those networks. When you have one in five of investigations being engaged by the FBI, including white nationalists, when you see these things happening at this pace and it doesn't seem to be slowing down, we don't have an administration that wants to embrace it, it's leading to what could be a very, very disastrous time for our country going forward.
VOA Asia's Ira Melman speaking with Errol Suthers, professor of National and Homeland Security at the University of Southern California. Coming up, young students want a different change in the climate. You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories,
videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA programs. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news from VOA Asia, the number of people killed after torrential downpours triggered flash floods and mudslides that tore through mountainside villages in Indonesia's easternmost province, has climbed to 79, with dozens of others missing. On Sunday, the disaster-prone country was hit by an earthquake triggering a landslide. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, tens of thousands of Australian and New Zealand school children have skipped classes on a global day of action on climate change. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports, opposition politicians in New South Wales have encouraged students to take part, insisting the world is at a real crossroads.
Australia's School Strike for Climate movement wants the nation to commit to 100% renewable energy by 2030. And to ban a giant Indian-owned coal mine in Queensland. Rallies in Australia and New Zealand were part of a global day of action across almost 100 countries, including Spain and Germany. The movement was inspired by Greta Thunberg, a teenager from Sweden, who last year skipped school to protest with a hand-painted banner outside the Swedish parliament. Strikes were planned at 60 towns and cities across Australia. Protesters say they're frustrated at the inability of adults to take action to prevent catastrophic climate change and that they fear for their futures. Australia has just recorded its hottest summer since records began. In the nation's most populous state, New South Wales, opposition leader Michael Daly has urged students to skip classes to join climate change rallies.
They are inheriting from us a world that is at best precarious. They don't have a microphone, but they do have a democratic right to assembly. They do have a right to protest. I support these young people and their action. I think there's a real opportunity for young people to realise their own personal power.
New South Wales State Premier Gladys Berejiklian said Daly's support for striking students was grossly irresponsible. Other Conservative critics said the children were victims of politically correct teaching, and the campaign was a ploy to weaponise children for political purposes. Education officials said all students at government schools were expected to be in class and could face disciplinary action if they attended Friday's rallies. In New Zealand, a rally by school children in Christchurch was called off following mass shootings at two city mosques that killed dozens of people. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This news from VOA Asia, Japan's space agency says its Hayabusa 2 spacecraft will follow up last month's touchdown on a distant asteroid with another risky mission, to drop an explosive to make a crater and collect underground samples to get possible clues to the origin of the solar system. More than just clues, we have the news on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a new test can quickly identify a common and dangerous condition during pregnancy and help keep mothers and babies healthy and safe. VOA's Carol Pearson has more.
Want to go down the slide?
When Jessie Przinski was pregnant with her first child, her feet started swelling.
Well, you hear everybody tells you, you know, the swollen ankles and, you know, get your feet up and all that, and so that was kind of where I just thought, okay, and then it started to be, kind of looks like it's in my arms and my hands, too.
Most women expect some swelling when they're pregnant, but these symptoms can be signs of preeclampsia. That's a complication of pregnancy that raises the mother's blood pressure and affects the blood flow to the placenta. This can lead to smaller or premature babies. Untreated, it can be fatal to the mom or baby or both. Researchers at the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center have developed a fast and easy test to diagnose preeclampsia. That's where Dr. Kara Rood practices maternal and fetal medicine.
One of the hard parts with preeclampsia is there's a lot of symptoms of just pregnancy alone and other medical conditions that have similar symptoms that the women experience, like high blood pressure, headaches, changes in vision. Those can be contributed to a lot of other things.
Preeclampsia is more serious if it occurs earlier in the pregnancy or in a woman who had high blood pressure before getting pregnant. Dr. Rood says managing this condition early on is best for both mothers and babies.
Without the certainty of this test aiding in the diagnosis, we as providers are definitely overcautious, as this is definitely something we don't want to miss because of the life-threatening results of a misdiagnosis for moms and babies.
Because of her preeclampsia, Pruszynski was induced 3 weeks early. She had a successful second pregnancy and has this advice for other women.
The biggest thing is listening to your body.
The test is so easy. Women can take it at home. That way, preeclampsia can be treated as soon as it develops. The researchers expect the test to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration in the next few years. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
In spite of decades of effort to fight homelessness in the United States, many people still sleep on the streets or in public shelters. As Tim Exton reports from Seattle, some homeless people there are taking matters into their own hands, regaining control of one aspect of their lives at the same time.
Every Sunday, the residents of this homeless encampment, 10 miles south of Seattle, attend a compulsory meeting to discuss camp affairs and make decisions about its future.
This is Tent City 3. It's a self-managed, democratically social, organized encampment that's run by the participants, for the participants. It's a clean and sober encampment. The kinds of people you get here are people who are recovering from various addictions or people who are just on extremely hard times.
One of a dozen such organized encampments in Seattle, Tent City 3's population varies from 50 to 100 people, children to seniors. The camp is self-policed and moves its location every 6 months. It offers its residents a structured alternative to sleeping on the streets, in night shelters, or in informal tent encampments where the threat of drugs, alcohol, and crime exist. It gives those, such as Michael and Carissa Cleveland, a chance to get back on their feet.
It helps a lot, really, because honestly, I'm not the most strong-willed, as she could tell you. If there was alcohol just freely flowing, I more than likely would lapse more than I have in the past.
It's security for me. It's a tremendous amount of security, and I feel like there's a whole lot of people around me that care.
Average rents in Seattle have risen more than 60% in the last 7 years, fueled, many believe, by a tech boom that has seen companies like Amazon bring tens of thousands of new workers to the city. Last year, an annual survey counted over 12,000 people as homeless in Seattle and surrounding King County, with more than half classified as unsheltered because they were living on the street, in tents, or in vehicles. Some remain unconvinced of the value of self-governing tent cities, especially those housing recovering addicts.
There are no social workers who come in there. There are no health workers who come in there. The camps are entirely voluntary, and people go to those camps with the understanding that they won't be expected to do anything to get themselves out of the camp.
Advocates for the homeless agree that tent cities are just a stopgap measure.
The big picture is clear. We need massive investments of local, state, and federal dollars in creating new, deeply affordable subsidized housing.
With little immediate prospect for construction of affordable housing on the scale required in Seattle, it seems that Tent City 3 and other camps like it will be needed to provide shelter for the homeless for some time to come. Tim Exton for Voice of America News, Seattle.
You've been listening to VOA Asia, along with finding our full-length programs online at our voanews.com archive. You can hear us on the radio throughout Asia. Great radio stations like Radioactive at Temasek Polytechnic in Singapore. We thank everyone there who is listening to the station today and tuned into our program. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Nelson Lopes, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.